P-O-O, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Did you know that KBOO is streaming live on the web? Well, you do now. Just type www.kboo.fm, click on Listen Live, and you've got us. Just another example of how KBOO 90.7 FM Portland works for you. It's your community radio.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
Why are women everywhere choosing AbbVie, the new tummy tuck alternative?
I got the tummy tuck results without the tummy tuck downtime.
Get a flat, tight tummy with Sonobello's new AbbVie. One visit, fat, and loose excess skin removal.
Sonobello's AbbVie is a tremendous breakthrough. Combine both liposuction and skin resection safely to be able to custom tailor our treatment for the patient.
I got a flat, tight tummy thanks to AbbVie.
When I did the AbbVie, I feel confident, and most of all, I feel like the old me before I had my babies.
I had Sonobello AbbVie over 3 months ago.
I just can't believe it. Like, it's so bomb.
Turn my mic on.
It feels good to feel good and look good.
I wish I would have done it way sooner.
The mommy belly is gone.
Schedule your free, no obligation consultation now. Sonobello, it's your life. Live it beautifully.
Check this out. I'm going to show you how I afforded this car. Okay, you ready? All right, $118 for car insurance. That's how much I was paying, okay? I picked up the car.
Turn my mic on.
It is on.
Okay. Sorry about the problems we're having. Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, and 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is engineering. I want to say hello to Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy and Aloha, Mitty and her great-grandchildren, and my buddy Jim and Gresham. We're having a little problem getting our music going here this morning, but I want to talk about something, you know. Okay, there we got some music.
To the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies. set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming when they close a missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't marching anymore.
All right. All of people who've been listening to this show for a long, long time knows that we started using that song by Phil Oates, I Ain't a Marching Anymore, when we started doing our shows live. Like I was telling Ty, our first few years we did everything on reel-to-reel tape because we didn't want to really be on the air because we really didn't know anything about it. So, but now it's... And this is what we're doing. We're on the air. You know, Kate, we just went through a pledge drive, and you know, appreciate everybody calling in and donating money and going on the website KBOO 90.7 FM and going up and hitting the donation. That's really good. We all appreciate that. You know, or you can send a check into KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. And we really appreciate it to get our show, keep our radio station going because of what just happened in this election time. You know, we need to really have a radio show like KBOO on the air because we're going to need it. And, I really appreciate everybody that, you know, donates to KBOO. I talked a little bit a few months ago during the first, during the Rose Festival, when the warships come into our city of Roses, and they bring all these warships in, and they bring all their recruiters out, and they also have these organizations that support the warships being in town. And I just had to go to trial for some problems that I had down there. When these warships were here, a bunch of our friends and peace-loving people were there, carrying banners. They were up on this grassy little knoll, had banners, and we're standing up there pointing them down towards the big, there's a big long line of people going to go on a tour of that, you know, warship, and there's some little children there, you know, and I didn't like that. And so I went down in there. Where I went, there were like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 booths. And all had to do with supporting the grooming of our children. And it is grooming of our children for the military. There's just no doubt about it. They're grooming our children. And so I went down there and let it be known that I didn't really appreciate it. I went to the first Navy recruiter, and I said, stand up when you talk to me with respect to my service in Vietnam, because I was wearing my Vietnam Veterans Against the War t-shirt. And I said, stand up when you talk to me out of respect for my service in Vietnam. And he was standing up, and I said, you're not recruiting children, are you? And he goes, oh, no, 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 no. I said, then why you got all these little trinkets here and all these flashy little things, you know? And he really didn't have anything to say about that. He didn't argue. We didn't argue. I never raised my voice. And then I walked down a little farther, and there was a Coast Guard recruiter down there. And I did the same to him, you know? And I said, you're not recruiting children, are you? And, oh, no, 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 no. You're not grooming children, are you? No, 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 no. I said, then why the trinkets? For little kids, you know, for little children. And he didn't have any answer. So then I walked back down towards the where the ship, warship was, and I saw these little children on that ship, and it just, I just didn't like it, you know. You know, children should be learning to sing songs and play games and learning to read and write, and just to have them groomed by these Navy, it just, it's not right. And so then I went to another booth and did the same thing to this guy, a guy. They were all guys except for, there one wasn't guys. And I went to this warship. I mean, these guys were in the warship. I did the same thing to them, you know? And the guy, he just said, well, we're not doing, you know, we got invited to come down, and that's what we're doing. And I said, don't recruit and groom children. Just don't do it. And then I walked to this one. This is where the trouble started. I walked to this one booth, and I said, what does your organization do? And he says, oh, we're just like the Boy Scouts. And I said, oh, you're grooming for children for the Navy, are you? Oh, no, boy. He starts screaming and hollering at me. And so I said, I've had it. I was going to reach down and pick up one of his toys he was giving away for children. And he just jumped over the table, and I had to back up. Because if I had to back up, he would have hit me. And so I just said, I've had enough with your babbling. I'm done with you. And so I went back to the, up to where my friends were. I would say about 10 minutes, here comes the cops. A cop. And he comes up there and all this stuff. You took a swing at this guy. And I said, no, I didn't. That's a lie. And he just starts saying all this stuff. And I says, am I under arrest? He goes, no, you're not under arrest. I said, am I being detained? He goes, no, you're not being detained. Yeah, he said, yeah, you're being detained. And as I looked over behind the booth, there was like NCIC, like the cops for the Navy was there, and some other MPs or whatever they're called were all standing there looking at that guy, you know. And so I said, I want to talk to your commander. And he said, then you go stand over on the sidewalk. Why don't we play the next song? Here we go. We're going to play the next song. And I'll get more into what happened to me after that. So here we go. It's going to be Edwin Starr, War. And here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. We're having trouble this morning. Edwin Starr, play. Well, nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Absolutely nothing.
You got it. Now you know what. Now you just do the same thing over again, what you did.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Listen to me. Blows
Listen to me. What? It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. What? And got one friend, that's the Undertaker. To me. What? It ain't nothing but a heartbreaker. What? Friend only, the Undertaker. Oh! He's loving, understanding, tell me. There's not no place for the everyday. They say we must fight to keep our freedom, but Lord knows there's got to be a better way. Oh! What?
All right, Edwin Starr, he passed away in England, you know, maybe 10 years ago. But I was telling Ty this morning about, I think it was 91 when Portland had a huge anti-war rally downtown, and we filled Pioneer Square up. There were people on the buildings around there, people in the streets. It was just huge. And I was asked if I would speak, and I said, of course I'll speak. And I talked about the war in Vietnam, the craziness, and, you know, the whole devastation of the country of Vietnam, the killing of so many innocent people, 3 million innocent people, you know. And at the end of my talk, I said, there's a song from the 60s called War, and it goes, War, what is it good for? And before I could say absolutely nothing, about 20,000 people screamed back, absolutely nothing. And I thought, yeah, that's Portland. And so to get back to my story of what happened to me, they sent me over to stand by on the sidewalk there on NATO Parkway by the Japanese, a wonderful Japanese area there. And my friends came, we were talking, everything, and man, there was then about 10 cops came around me and surrounded me. And then I asked that other cop, the first cop, you know, where's your commander? And then all of a sudden, here comes the commander. And he's in a car, and there's a bunch of cops in cars with him. And so he came up, and he says, you know, well, what seems to be the problem? I says, well, they called you, not me. You know, I was really nice. I never raised my voice or hollered or anything. And he said that the other cop told him that I swung at somebody down there. And I said, that's a lie. I don't do stuff like that. Why would I do that? And so I told him what happened and everything. And he said, well, I don't want to arrest you. I said, well, I don't want you to arrest me. He said that a couple times. And so then he took my driver's license. When he took my driver's license to go put my name through whatever they do, the other cops were talking to me, you know. We were talking and everything. And I asked them how many of you guys have been in the service, and they said, some of them raised their hands, you know, there's quite a few of them did. And it was the summer, so I had my Vietnam Veterans Against the War t-shirt on, and I have a tattoo on my arm that says Vietnam, then there's a big peace sign, and in 1968. And they were all looking at it and everything, and then the cop comes back and he says, well, I'm going to give you a citation, something to do with misconduct or something. It was, you know, in the second degree or something like that. And I had to show up at a certain date at the Justice Center or something. And he says, you can't go back down there because the Navy doesn't want you down there. But you can go up with your friends. Right on that little knoll right there, right where I was basically standing. And they kept, you know, it was quite a few of them said, no, the Navy doesn't want you down there. And I says, well, they can't do that because one of our friends had taken them to court and he had won. And then we took them to court and we won. They cannot stop us from going down in that area. The city cannot give away any public access at all. And that's what they were doing to me. They were denying me the access to down by the waterfront. So the date came and I went down to the Justice Building or whatever it was and walked up there and checked in. And they said, well, you have an attorney? And I said, why do I need an attorney, you know? And they said, well, you're probably going to need an attorney. And I said, well, I'll just get my own. And so then I went into the courtroom. You know, there were only a couple of white folks there, and the rest were Hispanics or black. And I thought, yeah, this is the justice system. They had us who hadn't been arrested. See, the cop never cuffed me. I was going to tell you that. The cop never cuffed me on the day I got that ticket or whatever, summons violation or whatever it was. He never cuffed me. And so I was sitting there listening to what these people had done, and it was basically just petty stuff, just petty stuff. And they would bring people from the back, in the back, they were behind a door, and these were the people who were in jail. They would bring them out one at a time. Same thing, boy. Most of them were quite a few Hispanic women that day. Quite a few Hispanic women. So then it was my turn to get up there, and there's a district attorney lady there, and she read my name in the court, whatever, and she says, Mr. Simmons is a veteran. And for some reason, she did that to a couple of the guys that were in jail too. And the judge asked me a few questions and everything, and he says, well, I see you're going to get your own attorney. And I says, I hope so. And so he says, here, take these papers and fill them out, and if you can't find an attorney, we'll find one for you. And I thought, no, you won't, because you were just telling all these other folks that there's such a backlog, there's not enough public defenders. There's not enough public defenders for everybody. And there was another district attorney that was sitting down in front of the judge, and he walked back towards me to get some papers to the district attorney lady I was standing by, and he looked at my tattoo. He looked at my tattoo, and then he went back and sat down, and the judge finished telling me all this stuff and everything, and then he asked that district attorney, said, do you want to add anything or do anything to Mr. Simmons? And that DA guy said no. And I said, well, that's good, you know. So I had to find a attorney, or, you know, come back and they'd give me an attorney. But I didn't. I'll talk more about it after. We're going to play the next one. We're going to play another good song. All these songs we're going to hear today are songs I've been using since for the last 33 years that we've been on the air. And he's going to find it and he's going to play it. We're still having some trouble here, but here we go.
He's 5 foot two and he's 6 feet four. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
All right. That's Universal Soldier. That was Donovan. But the song was written by Buffy St. Marie. And we used that song for many, many shows. You know, my friend Mitty gave me a whole list of songs, and most of them on her list we'd used on the show, so I got to pick a lot of them that I'd used on the show. But I didn't know how to get an attorney, and so my friend Dan Handeman of Cop Watch and Peace Works said, called Kenneth, and he's with Oregon Innocence Project, and so I called him and told him what was going on and everything, and they decided that they'd take my case. And I got two young training attorneys to be with me, and also Kenneth, and we talked about everything that happened. They did a lot of groundwork, and they worked really, really hard. There was another young attorney that helped him that I didn't meet until the day of the trial. I didn't know about it. And so I just had to go on the 12th of this month. I had to be there. But we worked a lot on it, and they did too. They worked really hard on this case because they were learning. And Kenneth, he's a really expert attorney, and I was so lucky to have them. You know, to have them as my attorneys. So I would go up to their office, and we would practice. And we would talk and practice on what we were going to do on the court on November 12th. And so the day came, and we had to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning down at Multnomah County Courthouse, down on Front Street. And I got there, and some of my buddies, Mike and John and Bill, and came. And they were there supporting me. And we got there, and we were talking with Gannon and Chloe, and we were talking, you know, how, you know, who this judge was and what's going to happen and everything, and we decided that we were ready, and we went into the courtroom. I want to play the next song. This song is special to me because it's two of my friends were at this when this happened, and it's called Ohio. It's about Kent State, and my friend Joe Lewis was shot. He was shot in the hip and in the ankle, and he's a wonderful man. That's for my friend Joe, and hello, Joe. I get back to what is my mic up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Ty. And but before that, my attorneys talked to the DA, and the DA said, "Well, we'll make a deal. It will drop it to a violation and fine him." And so they told me that. I said, no way. We're going to court on this because they did wrong. And so the day of the court, like I said, my friends were there, the attorneys. We were up at the attorney desk, I guess, and it was Gannon and Chloe and then me. And then the DA was across from us. And the judge was talking, nice judge, and was talking about, you know, how the system is going to work, what was going to go on. And we were listening to him, and then the DA said, "Well, she's going to, the guy that, I guess, charged me, she said she'll bring him in." So she went out and brought this guy came in. He was in a electric wheelchair. And I looked at Chloe and I said, who is this guy? You know, I had no idea who this guy was. And so the judge was talking about what was be going on and everything. And then they asked me if he'd go back up by the witness stand there. And the judge talked to him a little bit. And boy, that guy did not tell the truth at all. And so then she got done with him, and they went back to over by the DA. And I was still wondering, who is this guy? And so then the judge says that they're going to bring in the pool of jurors. So they brought, I think there's like 28 of them all came in and everything. And I didn't see one person of color, boy. I did not see one person of color there. And they each of them said if they'd ever been a victim of a crime, or was there any family members in police type stuff. And the judge asked them questions like that. And it got through all 28 of them. And then the judge said that we're going to take... she had a case that she had to hear real fast, and so she said that we were going to go up lunch and then come back at 1:15. And she let all the jurors out, the potential jurors out. They went back down to the jury pool room, and then we went and ate and everything. And then we came at 1:15. We came back in, and while they were down, Chloe and Kenneth and Gannon, they were going to decide what jurors that they thought would be the best. And I just said, you know, that was up to them. I don't know how to do anything like that. That's just up to them. And so when we came back up in, she brought the juror pool back in. And before she brought him back in, the DA said once she didn't want, and then my attorney said the ones they didn't want. And then she brought them back in and said, if I don't read your number off, you're excused to go back down into the jury pool. You may be let go, or you may be sent to another trial. And so she read off I think it was seven jurors that stayed. And then the others left. And one interesting thing, there was one young man who was now a student at Kent State, and he does tours on Kent State to the museum about the shootings and everything. You know, four dead in Ohio, and my buddy Joe got shot, and he does that. Now I thought that was pretty interesting, and so then the jury, the ones that kept, came back in and sat down, and she. Swore him in and told him different things they had to do, and gave him a notebook. And she said, if you have any questions of the witnesses, write them down, and the clerk will bring them up to me. And so she called the guy in the wheelchair, who I had no idea. And so he got up on him and drove his little electric scooter and got up on the stand, and she asked him questions and everything. And she's, man, oh man, I don't know where it came from. And then she says, can you recognize the guy? What is he wearing? I was wearing his Pendleton shirt, and he identified it. And then she asked me a few more questions, and he says he was a Navy veteran of 18 years. He was Special Forces and a medic or something like that. And I thought, well, I don't think the medics had, I mean, they weren't Special Forces. They were SEALs, Navy SEALs. And then it was my attorney's turn to ask, and it was Gavin, and Gavin asked a few questions. And one of the things that I guess that this guy has said, that I had a beard, and anybody that knows me, I've never had a beard. And then some of the jurors had questions that they gave their papers to the the clerk, and she took him up to the judge, and the judge looked at him and then read him to the guy in the witness thing. And one of the questions was, because these people are peace activists, is that why you have a problem with them? Basically, that's what he said. He gave the old tired thing. That's why we fight for that freedom of speech. And I thought, oh, man. And then another one, I don't remember what the other one was. There's a couple. I don't remember what they were. And then, then the witness says, I want to say one more thing. And the judge says, oh, yeah, you know, you're done here. But he says, I want to say one more thing. And so the judge says, okay, what is it? And he says, I have PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder. And I thought, so do I. So do I. And so then he got off the witness stand, zoomed on back over by the DA. And then at lunchtime, my attorneys got together. They had this, oh, man, they were amazing, amazing attorneys. And they had these three case things about a case like mine, and they told the judge that Chloe says told the judge she wanted the jury was still in, and so she took him up to the judge, and the judge looked at him, and then she told the clerk to take the jury back into this back room, and then she read, I think she read those cases out or something. They were something that was that my attorneys had, and she looked at him and she says, Mr. Simmons, I acquit you. And so I was acquitted. And then the DA had to tell the guy in the wheelchair, and he just zoomed on out of there, you know. I think it was Chloe turned and looked at, I think it was Chloe did it, and said something like, I think I told you so we'd get off, or something like that. And I thought, yeah, that's true. Thank you. And I was acquitted. And then after the judge came back in, because the two young attorneys wanted to have her kind of critique him, and she said there was no reason for me to even be at a trial. This was just, there was nothing to it, just nothing to it. And she explained everything, and there was no reason for me to ever be on that. The only reason I went to trial is because the Navy did not want me down there. That's the only reason. The only reason they did not want me down there. And but my attorneys were so great. They were just so great. And they did a really great job. And I you know. And what's the next song we got coming?
Masters of War.
Okay, Masters of War by Bob Dylan. Here we go.
I'm your masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes. and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, and then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world, for threatening my baby unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know but to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's the one thing I know, I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Right, Bob Dylan, Master of War. One of the things that the judge said to me when she was talking to us after I was acquitted was that she was glad that I took it to trial. If I remember right, she said something like that. So, you know, we cannot let this government get away with pushing us around and giving us, you know, trying to keep us out of places that we deserve to be in, and fighting for the things that we believe in, and trying to take us. They'll do anything to get us out of what they don't want us to be at. But we have every right to say what we want to say. We have every right to stand up for what we believe in. And you know, I did a lot of what I was doing down there because of my heart breaks for the children of Palestine and the children in Lebanon. My heart just breaks for all those children that are being slaughtered. You know, they say 43,000 Palestinians have died, and I think almost 4,000 Lebanese. But it's going to be a lot more when they get done with this bloodbath that they're doing, the Zionists are doing, on the people of Palestine and the people of Lebanon. It's going to be in the hundreds of thousands of bodies that are going to be found. And we just got to stand up for our brothers and our sisters. That's all there is to it. We just have to stand up and not let them push us around. It's our right. It's our right. Even with this new menace that's coming in, we cannot back down. We cannot back down. Because they'll slowly and surely try to take away every freedom that we have. And we can't let that happen. You know, Portland's a very great city. And we stand up for what we believe in. And we'll do it again and again and again and again. As long as we have to keep our rights that are guaranteed to us. It's not something that they can take away, but they're going to try. They're going to try. We just can't let that happen. We've got to stand up, and we've got to fight back. I will go to jail if I have to. I will not back down. And I know you, my sisters and my brothers, will do the same thing. This next song, I think I played it for the first time last month, but I've decided this is going to be my theme song. And I really like it. And Ty's going to play it right now and before we go. I like that song a lot. That's us, Portland. We're not going to be leaving quietly, you know. There's just no way we're going to be leaving quietly. Again, I want to say, if you really want to keep our wonderful radio station on the air, you can go on KBOO.FM and go up to the donation and hit that donation, and you can donate that way. Or, you, like I said before, you can send a check to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And, you know, like I was telling you, I think about when I see those children in Gaza, it breaks my heart. I think about all the children in Vietnam that never had a chance to grow up, be independent. You know, it's just such a, like I've told on this air before, that 90% of all casualties in war are civilians. And that's just such a horrible thing. If you ever could get a chance to, if you're on the internet, if you can get on the internet, look up Inside North Vietnam 1967, I think it is. And that's a great documentary. It just shows you the slaughter of the Vietnamese people. I mean, it shows the bombing of the North, the bombing of the South, and our good buddy Bob Chenoweth was here from, he was here from Portland here. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam for 5.5 years, and he was in Hanoi when they finally took the prisoners up and took him and the other prisoners up north. He was in Hanoi when they were doing the bombings. And he talked about how terrifying that was, that the bombs were coming so close to them. And it's just, it doesn't solve anything, my friends. It doesn't solve anything. World War One led to World War Two, led to Korea, led to Vietnam, led to the Gulf. It's just a continuous thing. And we're not going to stop trying to stop these fools. And Ty, I'm ready to finish up here in just a minute. I hope you enjoyed some of these songs that we've been playing for the off and on for the last 33 years. We'll be back on December 20th, and it'll be 8 a.m. again. And there it is.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:58 a.m.
Try to You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you eloquent, an elephant? Can you converse in chimpanzee?